praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joyful gathering together here, just rejoicing in the Lord, basking under the glory of God.
Amen.
Father, we thank thee, Lord. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to you. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, as we have sung and praised you, so we want to read your word at this hour, trusting that the Holy Spirit, you have sent to us, Lord, will give us the better understanding of thy word.
Amen.
Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're talking about the events, you know, around the world, how the world can change overnight. You know, telling us, every time we see it, telling us we are at the end of the age, you know. So we're talking about what is happening in the Middle East and so on like that, you know. The event confused many people, don't know the scripture. And all kind of things are happening. Even on the, you know, I was reading some things on the internet. They are now betting. They are betting that Christ will come by the end of this year. There is betting like that. People are betting for over 100,000. You know, let me read to you. Some online predictions or platforms are allowing people to wager on the return of Jesus Christ. Specifically, a company called Polymarket allows users to bet on whether Jesus will return before the end of 2025. A significant amount of money has been wagered on this question, with some users betting over 100,000. So that's how we set up all kind of confusion. At the end of the age, the Antichrist system, right? You know, something that, you know. I mean, so this is happening and so on. Even some Christians, right? Bible says it's possible. We deceive the very elect, right? So what is happening in the world and so on, I want to just speak on what the Lord put in my heart. End time prophetic timeline. Amen. So remind ourselves, you know, even some people are confused as to what event. Is it a magnet that is happening in the Middle East right now? Some people are even thinking. So once in a while, we just remind ourselves of the end time prophetic timeline, biblically and so forth. So, the end time prophetic timeline. According to Bible chronology, from Adam's creation to the time of Christ was about 4,000 years. Then from Christ to the present dispensation we are living in now, it's about 2,025 years. So altogether, from the fall of Adam to the present dispensation is about 6,025 years, or about 6 days in God's recording of time. Many scriptures depict God's recording of time. He has many, many time measures to throw up Satan. Amen. Praise the Lord. And part of it even to really hide the time of the rapture and so on. The popular one is 2 Peter 3:8, you know, God's recording of time. One day, it will be the Lord at 1,000 years, and 1,000 years at one day. And magnifying some here before I even get to the event and so on. And our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, by whom and for whom all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, as we are told in Colossians 1:16, he is eternal. Praise the Lord. He has neither beginning of days nor ending of life. Hebrews 7:3. That my vision figure, quite Melchizedek and so on, you know who he is. Praise the Lord. He has neither beginning of days or the ending of life. His going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. Micah the prophet 5:2 says so. Word of God. Even the sweet psalmist of Israel in Psalm 90 verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, he formed the earth, and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Continue the psalmist said in Psalm 93 verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. He is Alpha and Omega, Revelation tells us the beginning and the end, any, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1 is, praise the Lord Jesus. This eternal one, the Lord Jesus Christ, have been planning and developing his mighty universe over a long period of time, really. So man 6,000 years on this earth are but a tick of God's clock in his grand plan. God began his rest on the seventh day after the 6,000 years of creation and so on. But what happened? Man sin broke that rest. And immediately, God, has set in motion again plans to redeem the fallen human race. This redemption plan that has been unfolding for 6,000 years now, and our Lord empowered this one when he told us he told the Jews or whatever in John chapter 5 verse 17. Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk also, he said. So we see him right there. Anyway, so I want to talk about there are three cardinal events of history, and something like that. Three cardinal events of history. And each of equal importance, actually, which will overshadow all order, they are in chronological order. Number one, Christ's first coming as the savior of the world. Number two, Christ secretly taking his bride out of the world. And number three, and Christ's physical appearance in his glory. Praise the Lord. So cardinal events of history and so on like that, Of course, the first event, Christ was coming as the savior of the world, has happened already, That's why we are here today. Praise the Lord Jesus. And in John 1:29, John the Baptist saying this. The next day, John the Baptist said Jesus, come unto him, and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So we know the first cardinal event of it has taken place already. The Christ coming to redeem, to redeem the world, to save the world, and so on. The second event, in chronological order, will be the Christ secretly taking the bride out of the world in what we call the rapture or the translation. That is, can happen any time from now. It can be today. The day and the hour, we don't know. I want to read that scripture. There are many scriptures. The one I want to read that is known by many people is 1st Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And of course, the third event, like I said before, is the physical appearance of Christ in his glory. These last three events, the secret catching away of the bride, and the physical appearance, even it's not the reason why the Jews miss him. They think the Messiah, when he will come, he will be the captain, their world leader, and so on like that, They read Isaiah 9:6 and all those things. They read Isaiah 7:14, all of those things. They miss it. They don't know that the coming of the Lord is in two stages. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Where they were progressively blinded anyway, blessed be the name of the Lord. And many Christians even are still mixed up about the coming of the Lord. All kind of rumors go on in this world of information, right? And many Christians are still mixed up, about this event and so on. That's why we're talking about this event, the timeline and so forth. So he has come already for the first time. Coming for the rapture, the day and the hour, we don't know, it could be any time. Then we will come again physically at the end of time. So let's talk about the physical coming of Christ and the following event that you follow it. Matthew 24:29 says this, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the path of the heaven shall be shaken. And now what? Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man. You see what we see? That is physical appearance, right? But we say, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Other scripture abound. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye, don't mean that one, the physical appearance of Christ. And every eye, shall see him. And they also which pierce him. And all kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him. In the rapture, all the ones don't see him. You know, those who are caught up, you touch the ground. You know, those who are caught up, right? Meeting in the here, right? So you see, anyway. So we see, the physical coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and for the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you, the apostle wrote, was believed in that day. So we see that between Christ secretly casting away his bride from the world, called the rapture, and his physical appearance in glory, will be the great tribulation, with the death into the event, past the rapture and so on. So between the rapture and the physical appearance of Christ, like I just read about, be the great tribulation. We're talking about prophetic timeline of the end time, right? Because of so many information going on in the information age and so on, many Christians are mixed up even after that, We have to stretch the timeline out biblically, not by guesswork, We have had all kinds of many people prophesying on the internet, this and that and so on, Are they really right? You've got to know what the Bible says about this timeline so you can really be prepared and so on. So, great tribulation. The Antichrist will rise to begin a 7-year reign and make a covenant of peace with the Jews as foretold by Isaiah the prophet in 28th chapter of Isaiah 15, saying, "Ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with her are we in agreement." The 18th verse of Isaiah 28 says, "And your covenant with death shall be dishonored, and your agreement with her shall not stand." So this Antichrist will be a super spell binder. He will charm the masses and lead them to their doom. 3.5 years into his 7-year reign, talking about prophetic end time timeline, right? Reminding ourselves, for what you already know and so on, 3.5 years into his 7-year reign, the Antichrist will break his covenant with the Jews. And we are expressly told in Daniel 9:27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." That is a week of 7 years, right? And I'm talking about Antonio for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, meaning 3.5 years into that 7-year period, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that the time shall be poured upon the desolate. So people are predicting something. They don't even put the attackers in the picture, where God put it in the Bible and so on. That's how why we revise the prophetic timeline and so on. He will then declare himself to be God in the temple that he will probably help them build in Jerusalem. And here is what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." And don't forget, as we have learned over the years, that falling away is not from church attendance. Amen?
Amen.
They even have mega churches. Some of them have about 4 services a day, right? Have mega, you know, so falling away from the true word of God, the Revelation church age, right? Revelation 3:20. Christ standing aside, knocking to go into his own church. Who is he? The word of God, amen? They do everything else but the word of God. Praise the Lord. Till they are lukewarm. He will spew them out of his mouth and things like that, you know. Anyway, so we see, falling away from the true word of God, that was it is and so on. Where are the foundation of the apostles and the prophets in the churches today? Where are they? You know, even, I mean, we thank God we preach in the crusade and so on. Why don't we also begin to preach that say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost, right? Why don't we, you know, begin to preach like that and some of that, you know, in this end of the age and so on. So falling from the real true word of God at the end, you know, of time and so on. And that man of sin, the revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we know from what is for the report coming in, we know it's true. They got everything ready to be that temple. Some even say they're already building, I don't know about that. But they got everything ready in material and so on. They even have a special site for that, you know. No, for this temple and so on like that, you know. So we know we are, you know, things are happening rapidly and so on like that, you know. So anyway, the Antichrist declaration that there is God. So this is what the tribulation temple, right? There are many temples and so on. That's a different subject, really. And, you know, so for the tribulation temple and so on, because that's where the Antichrist manifests himself, like we just read here, you know, according to the epistle we just read. So the Antichrist declaration that he is God, we usher in the great tribulation, as foretold by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Even Daniel spoke of it in Daniel 12:1 in the same verbiage or language about the towards the end of verse 1 of Daniel 12. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that time, a certain time is this and so on. Prophetic timeline, right? Rapture has taken place and so on. The Antichrist is manifesting 7-year period and so on, that, you know. In the middle of it, the Christ said to be God in the tribulation temple in Jerusalem and so on. Anyway, now, past the great tribulation will come the great day of the Lord. So, the physical appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory will inaugurate the great and terrible day of the Lord. One, to which the Old Testament prophets refer very, very often. His passage in Zephaniah is a typical one of those prophecies of the, you know, of this great and terrible day of the Lord. Let's get into that. Zephaniah 1:14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And he says greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there terribly. See what is awaiting the world, right? Have the rapture and so on. And then verse 15 says, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers, and I will bring distress upon men, the Lord said, that they shall walk like a blind man, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as a dung. Oh, by rejecting Jesus Christ our Lord as a Savior, amen,
amen.
Praise the Lord. See? Bible even warned the Gentiles. If it's fear not the original holy tree, right? You know, it will not fear you Gentiles too if you don't seek and cleave to the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord. So the great day of the Lord is sometimes even confused with the great tribulation. There are two different things really, you know. And we can get a sense to compare the two of them. Let's look at Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken his head. Back in Acts 2:20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come, and so on. So from these two scriptures, we see that the darkening of the sun and moon follows the great tribulation, but it precedes the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's good to know the roadmap, amen? Praise the Lord, the prophetic roadmap, praise the Lord Jesus. Bible say, I mean, you know, to the world is what are in parables, right? You know, and but to the elect of God, we want to know all that can be known in the word of God concerning the time and the age we are living in, and so on. That will help our being ready, right? When we see this judgment and so on, that will even hopefully gear us to be ready to put all our, you know, efforts into the being ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Anyway, so simultaneously, with this effect of the sun being darkened at the moon, a great star shower will occur. Talking about the judgment following the great day of the Lord right now. Revelation 6:13 says, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Well, let no man make any mistakes. Something that happened in this prophetic future and so on, which is upon us, has happened in a minor, manner in history. Praise the Lord. Even these showers of the stars and so on has happened before. A notable one is this. Let me just one to you and so on. So there have been many great star showers in the history and so on, notable by us, not by people and so on. On the 9th of November 12, 1833, there was a unique and most spectacular display of a shooting star, exceeding anything ever previously witnessed in recorded history. People reached out into the streets to see the amazing spectacle. The shower began a little before midnight, and gradually the meteors increased in frequency until by the time the faint flush of dawn had begun to spread over the city, or over the sky rather, they were as thick as snowflakes. I mean, shooting stars, right? As thick as snowflakes. People knelt down in the streets in stark terror and tried to seek God. Sinners hastily began to dream as they believed that the end of the world was upon them. Bells tolled as they waited for the end. Church bell began to ring as they waited for the end. That's November 12, 1833, right? The next day, however, all was still in. And most people, so record their contemporaries who saw it, went back to their previous habits and forgot all about their hastily made resolutions last night when things were happening and so on. They went to their bad drinking again and carrying on their rebellion against the truth of God. Their prayer on the night before was apparently merely the result of the fear inspired by the celestial display. We learn a lesson from there, and it's a great lesson. The lesson seems to be that if man is not led to Christ through the call of his mercy and his love, no change will be wrought in his heart through supernatural manifestation. Praise the Lord. In fact, at the heat of the judgment of the end time, many of them will even blaspheme God more, you see. So anyway, So, and however, what we are talking about, that's just in the issue, right? These stand falling in the judgment, at the great day of the Lord. However, the star shower that we usher in the great day of the Lord will be of such magnitude to inspire terror in the hearts of men everywhere. There will not be a reassuring money when this will happen, like it happened in 1833. No reassuring money, as there was in 1833. With all things as they were before, it won't be so this time around. Instead, the sun is darkened and the moon turned into blood. There will be dust and a vapor of smoke as a mighty seismic and cosmic disturbances take place in the heavens. While on the earth below, there will be lightning and the thundering and earthquake shaking the earth. Indeed, the effect which will be recognized as a supernatural in origin will inspire fear, not only among primitive people, but even among the so-called great men of the earth. Kings and princes will realize at last that they have been deceived by the Antichrist. And sensing that the day of grace is past, they will call for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of the Lamb. And that, there is no place to hide. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have to read these things. It's going to be a rapture. But we do this thing and read them to see what is coming after the rapture and so on. So that this earth is no place to be after the rapture. Amen? Praise, that is the purpose. Praise the Lord. And let me see what I do here. I need to speak here. So, it is strange. In this strange commotion in the heavens, which we awaken men at last to the fact that there are supernatural operations which cannot be explained on the basis of a natural law. Amen? Because that one. So they can't explain it, they may not be able to explain it and all that, The learned sage, suppose he had all the answers with all their scientific things and all that, and science possibly calls you, But he will see his materialistic philosophy crumbling right before his face when this thing begins to happen. Those things which men thought were superstition, heard over from antiquity to be believed by the ignorant people they call them, will then prove to be a grave reality to the people of this world. The revelation of divine power will confound and bewilder them utterly. So going through the judgment and so on, where the Lord begins to manifest himself and so on, in the physical appearance and so on, then will come the seven vile judgments, the seven trumpets, we initiate and unfold the judgment of the seven vials of Revelation 16, 1 to 17, which I don't have time to read right now. Just the timeline, what I'm trying to do here, what is coming and so on, it will be noted, it will be noticed in those verses that these vial judgments are especially directed toward the Antichrist and his kingdom. Do you know that all the 10 plagues in Egypt, they were targeted against the God of Egypt. If I have time, one of these days, each of those judgments in Egypt, they were targeted against a God at his worship in Egypt. Yeah, each of them. So the same way, this judgment is going to be targeted against the Antichrist. If I have time one day, we will tear down the different 10 plagues in Egypt and see how it is tied to a God in Egypt. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So the sixth fire will bring the world close to Armageddon. Talking about the timeline, prophetic timeline of the end time. Revelation 16:12. And the sixth angel poured out his fire upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Verse 16 says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Talking about prophetic, end time prophetic timeline, right? You know? So, now, the seventh fire will initiate great terrestrial disturbances. Revelation 16, 17. And the seventh angel poured out his fire into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. There will be thunders and lightnings. A great hail will fall from heaven, and upon wicked Babylon will be poured out the cup of God's wrath. Just a summary of the prophetic timeline of the end and so on, that you know. What's next now? Battle of Armageddon, right? Under the seventh fire judgment, three unclean spirits, like I read before, had lured the kings of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And Revelation 19, 17 and 18, we see that the armies have reached their appointed rendezvous at that time and so on, that you know. Revelation 19, 17 says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, talking of Armageddon still, right? Even in Revelation 19 and so on, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that he may eat of the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So we see Armageddon, they are all marching there, the events are marching there and so on. Just timeline, rapture are taking place and so forth. The Antichrist manifests himself, the great tribulation and so forth, the darkness of the sun and the moon and so forth. Then the great and terrible day of the Lord and so forth, as the Lord appears in great glory and so forth. What next now? Sit down. Cast into the bottomless pit, past Armageddon. Revelation 21. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and banned him 1,000 years. Just read this time, without going to the deeping, explaining them and so on, that, you know. So just a timeline, you know. So we know you are hearing things on the internet and so on. So you know where we are standing, prophetic, and look to the Bible, you know. You know, so that's what look to the Bible and see what the Bible says. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be finished. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, you know what? And people are often, even Christians, scared of the devil. They talk so much about the devil, more than they talk about God, you know. Devil do that. Okay? And you know what? And or they won't pray to God to do something about the devil. God won't do anything about the devil. Amen? Praise the Lord. He has done all he has to do with the devil. Even to put in the bottomless pit, take an angel. Amen? To put in the bottomless pit. Amen? What we are supposed to read the Bible by the devil is to receive the devil and it will flee from you. Amen?
Amen?
That it is now up to you and I. Praise the Lord. He has given unto you power. Luke 10:19. I give unto you power or authority over all the power of the enemy. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
1 John 4:4, I believe, it says, the little children, Jehovah come, the wicked one, right? We must use our authority, you know, that has given unto us. All in wrath, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 16 tell us, you know, verse 17 through 20 of Mark 16 and so on. In my name, cast out devils and so on that, you know. The church has fallen back. Ah, see, there are no more demons in the world. When they are actually multiplying upon the face of the earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let us awake to our authority given unto you. I cannot see why David was praying. Teach my hands to walk and my fingers to fight. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Our own weapon, not carnal. They are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Praise the Lord. That's how we can use them by faith. Ephesians 6 and so on. That, you know. Anyway, what happened next? Then come the millennium. We call the millennium. You know, a day of rest. The glad millennium will come and so forth. It is a kingdom age. When Israel comes to the fall again, praise the Lord. They go through rough time and so on, you know, they come to the fall. And Christ and his saints rule with a rod of iron. Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth went a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treaded the winepress all the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Revelation 22:36, even to the overcomers and so on. And he that overcometh and keepeth my work unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my father. Revelation 12:5. The man child and so forth. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was cut off unto God and to his throne. So the 1,000 years of millennial rest will complete the 7,000 years of human week of God's plan for man. See? So yeah, 7,000 years, you know, 1,000 years a week and so on, of God's plan for man. We are told in Romans 11 how God turned to the Gentiles, but that at the end of this age, he returned to Israel. And the scripture over there concluded with a tribute to the majesty and greatness of the wisdom and the knowledge of God in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Amen? Man can't find it. Praise the Lord Jesus. All the magos to come by revelation. Praise the Lord. Come and Father, I thank you because you have seen this for the wise and the prudent. And you have to build so that we learn. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Now the millennium, so we see right there, just walking the prophetic timeline. So when confusion come on this, information leading generation, most of them are lies and so on, that you know. So we will not be perturbed. No, things like that. Now, the millennium of 1,000 years will be the closing dispensation of God's probational testing of the human race. Where in divine judgment, sorry, in divine government, a dispensation is what? It represents a predetermined period of time in which God deals in a particular way with the human race. It's a period of time in which man is tested in respect of obedience to some specific revelation of the will of God. There have been six other such dispensations. I just named them without digging into them. You have the dispensation of innocence, that of conscience, that of human government, that of promise, dispensation of law, and now of the church age. The millennium is the seventh and final dispensation, and the scripture revealed or referred to it as the dispensation of the fullness of time in the Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So that, you know, is that one, or the seven, and the precision and so on, that, you know. Now what happened next? In the present timeline, Satan is loosed out of his prison house after the millennium. But what happened? And you know, man will institute a rebellion. Even after that, man will institute a rebellion after Satan is loosed from his prison house, which is punished by summary destruction. That is in Revelation 20 verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. I don't have time. This is a different one from Ezekiel 38. I don't want to go into that one right now. But anyway, Gog and Magog. Together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved cities. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Without going deeper into all of these things, just the prophetic timeline of the end time, you know what I'm talking about this morning. So when people are hearing things, make sure by the word of God, where I'm open to hearing prophecies and so forth, we judge prophecy by the word of God, amen. If it has out of step with just one single scripture, that is not true. Praise the Lord. Amen. If an angel comes and say anything different and something be accursed, amen. Galatians, I believe it is, and so on, that's one, somewhere in Galatians and all that, you know. So we see that under his interpretation, the race as a whole, you know, fails. But God always has a remnant for his dispensation, amen. Always have a remnant and so on. What comes next will be the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fell away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, and sat before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Let me quickly summarize. The elect of God doesn't come to the white throne judgment. Amen? We have been judged. Revelation 11:15, I believe it is, and so on. Our own judgment is not for sin. Christ can know. You know why Moses? Why Moses was in trouble when he struck that rock two times? That 10:14. That rock that followed them was Christ, right? You can't strike him two times. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So you have been judged for our sins, and the true elect is not judged again. Don't come to the white throne. We come to the judgment seat of Christ, you know, and that is in the, you know, that is the Revelation, you know, 11 and so forth. I think even in Romans, we get the reward. Bible says he will reward the prophets and let the saints praise the Lord. So the thing is, one day I want to talk about that again, you know, just to remind us what we are, you know, what is awaiting us and so on. We have been judged for our sins and so forth. But the judgment seat of Christ is actually not for sin. You know, it's there for the white throne judgment either, you know. So there, everybody will receive that which is done to his body as a creature, amen. Mm-hmm. Paul says, I'm a master builder. A bit of, you know, foundation of gold and so on. Anyone building upon this foundation, let him think of what he's building. Are you going to put stubble and wood upon it? Will your work stand the test of fire of God at the end of time? Praise the Lord. Let us do things with purpose. for God, amen, with the right motive. Praise the Lord. Not just running up and down and something like that, you know. Anyway, so that's just by the way. So the new heaven and the new heart will be the next thing that I'm finishing up here in this prophetic timeline. So the millennium is not the perfect age, really. For that age comes with the new heaven, and the new earth, meaning the golden age, and something like that, you know. The new heaven and the new heart appear after the white throne judgment, prophetic timeline of the end time, right? Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new heart, for the first heaven and the first heart were passed away, and there was no more sea. I won't say more than that, just a timeline, right? I won't get into the details of that. These are all subjects on their own, you know, that one can even preach for this. Then we have the new Jerusalem and so forth, verse 2. And I John, saw the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vial full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal itself. Again, I just give a prophetic timeline, not even going to the deep into each of these items and so forth. So what is it that we are doing at this time in our own dissertation? So we are concerned about the rapture right now. So we see Christ is now ending this timeline that we're talking about here. Today we see crisis after crisis arising. The exploding world population all over the world, they are exploding and going off. Famine that ravaged nations. The unprecedented rise in crime. Just in Minnesota last week or so, how a law, was killed, just murdered, and all that, you know. Crime after crime, and so that is the ongoing right now, you know. So crime everywhere, crisis everywhere, you know, violence everywhere, earthquakes in diverse places. About 2 weeks ago or so, there was one that hit at 6.2 magnitude on both, near Italy and around that area and so on that, you know, and a great volcano, you know, on Mount Etna, you know, spilled out about 12, I don't know how many thousands of feet into the air and so on, and visitors running et cetera and so on that, you know. So anyway, we are facing the threat of a nuclear war, artificial intelligence, AI, that could annihilate the human race. And we are facing the moral corruption, causing society to rot to the very core. All these are witnesses that the hour is at hand when the nations shall make their last march to Armageddon. Praise the Lord. That's why I want to lead and so on what we are seeing right now. So, and for us, the elect of God, what a time. Getting ready for the rapture. Look at the timeline and so on. Which are what awaits us in the rapture and so on. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, talking to the elect of God now. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, what joy. What joy. What a glorious moment. When we shall see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Even as we are told in 1 John 3, we shall see him, 3:2, the world won't see him at that time and so on. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and he does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our bodies will be changed into the likeness of his glorious body. Philippians 3:20, I'm finishing up right now, talking to the elect of God now, as we are teaching here this morning. We talk about the world judgment coming after the rapture to gear us up. We won't be in the white throne judgment, no. Get ourselves ready, as the Bible says, no. But talking of what we are looking for, Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. Don't meddle with the things of this world. No man calls to be a soldier. God himself with the affairs of this world. That in a season that called to be a soldier, amen? Amen. Don't meddle with the affairs of this world. Do your business and serve the Lord with all your heart and do your study to be quiet. Doing your business, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible says, no, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Bless his holy name. Bible says, another scripture, or two more scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Amen. No, not when I get a raise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Amen. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. Blessed be his holy name. In everything give thanks. Whether it is convenient or not convenient, it becomes a sacrifice of praise. I believe in the Hebrews 3:15, I believe it is. Say the lip of our praise, giving thanks unto him, right? Sacrifices of praise and so on that, And then 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And in John 16:24, he said, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Amen? Amen. Even in John 15, I believe verse 11, these things have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy may be full. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't forget that one. He wants our joy to be full. Last scripture here in the book of Psalms, 37 verse 4. Summarizing everything. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give it in the heart of thy heart. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's simple, isn't it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee in the heart of your heart without faith. Not maybe or whatever, but he shall do it and so on that, Father, we thank you this morning in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not children of darkness, that they should come upon us on our way out. I wish it were possible. We deceive the very elect, but we thank the Lord Jesus for the word of God. We have the union and the tomb in the name of Jesus, the word of God. The lion ministry has set the darkest hour is upon us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, darkness cover the earth and brought darkness to people. I would say that we have the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are indeed given the light of the world right now. He gave us that light. Help us to make that light to shine in this that our Lord, wherever we go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thereby glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord, we thank and we worship you. He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. Teach us how to take advantage of what belongs to us as the body of Christ, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the end of the age. And we pray as we success us, Lord. The Bible says, I go away in my father's house. There are many mansions. John 14, 1, 2, and 3. In my father's house are many mansions. If it's not, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank you for your wonderful promise, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we heed your warning in Luke 21:36. Worship therefore and pray always. That means I can't say the word to escape all these judgments. I just read the timeline this morning and so forth, and go in that rapture of the church and stand before the Son of Man. God unto us, Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord. Amen.